Clear the decks for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The great white whale of Medicare podcasts. He parallel parks like a pro. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers would say, and especially because I'm looking at my pest control guy out the window. He's getting ready to spread noxious chemicals and poisons all over my property so that we can kill all living things that might be creepy, crawly, trying to get into the house, and maybe even trying to sting guests who come and have a drink on my patio in the warm Arizona weather. I'm sorry, I'm sidetracked by the progress of better life through chemistry. Anyway, it's Doug Jones again, your Medicare expert. As my Canadian nephew Drew McMillan just told you, I am here to help you feel really, really good about your impending encounter with Medicare. And it may not be you. Maybe you've got a neighbor, a friend, or a relative that is going to be encountering Medicare sooner than you will be. Maybe you've already done it, and you're just reminiscing along with us. Well, welcome to our podcast. I would suggest, if you want to make sure that you're properly equipped for Medicare encounters, that you go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and in the search window, I would suggest that you put in the title of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Once you do that, especially on Amazon, you're going to find that there are several different editions that are matched to various people's likes, dislikes, and budgets. If you want to really, really skimp and get the knowledge that that book offers you at the best possible price, you're going to want to get the Kindle or ebook version, which is not even $4. It's much less than $4. And that's the greatest value that I can offer you. If you'd like to listen rather than read, then you can get the Audible book, which is somewhere around $6, I think. And if you would prefer to read the most commonly purchased version of my book, then you want to get the $8 paperback version. It's handy, but the $8 version doesn't have color illustrations. It's got black and white illustrations. Certainly will not impede your enjoyment or your extraction of knowledge out of the book. But here's the one I really like, and people are buying this thing. It's incredible that it's coming off the shelves. Listed right next to an $8 version is a $22 version of my book. Now, why would anybody buy the $22 version rather than the $8 version? Well, I can tell you why. There's a certain people, a certain segment of the population that appreciates quality. And the $22 version of the book is really packed with quality. It's got colorful illustrations. It's got a hard cover, and it is suitable for gifting to a person that you highly respect or a person that you want to prank. You give them that gift, that book as a gift, and when they open it, they'll say, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm only 55 years old. Why are you rushing my Medicare encounter?" And you can laugh all day long, but there are people buying that $22 hardcover edition of my book, and God love them. Anyway, speaking of people that I enjoy dealing with, Randy has never bought one copy of my book, but yet he is still considered a close friend. Randy Carson, join us, will you?
Oh, Doug, no, I never have bought a copy of your book. Not because I don't want one, it's because I am waiting for that hardcover, and now that it's available, you just never know what's going to happen, because I don't think I've ever seen the hard copy of your book.
Well, I can hold it up to the screen, but that's not going to do you much good. You're going to have to fork over $22.
So I would like to know, is it, so obviously there's a dust cover, And then underneath the dust cover, what's underneath the dust cover?
There's no paper cover. It's not that, you know, that would cost another $10. It is a hardcover version of the Medicare for the Lazy Man. And it's got not only the hardcover and all of the back cover, of course, in the testimonials from prior readers. Yeah, but all of the illustrations in the book are in color. They're not in black and white. So the magnificent GTO is in color in two different places in the book. The Cadillac, the magnificent Cadillac, is in color in two different places.
So there's the book cover that you're holding on there is actually the hardcover.
That is the hardcover right there. You could smack somebody in the head with this thing.
There's no dust cover over that.
There is not a dust cover, and I suppose if one were to offer me enough money, I would disguise it, but I can't get Amazon to provide it with the book, so I'd have to have them send me the book. I would put the dust cover on, or maybe I could just send the dust cover to the reader. But once again, it's a matter of determining how much money it would take to motivate me to do that.
Well, I'm really excited because I've never seen that book before, so... I've been dreaming about it. You know, every Christmas I think, oh my gosh, I wonder if something's going to happen with Santa.
Save your nickels and dimes and one could be yours. But as has been our policy for lo these many years, I give you a book and hope and pray that you don't hand it off to somebody else and beg for another one.
You're going to know that I'm just joking. Uh-huh. And I don't mean this in any sort of ill-fated, you know, ill-meaning sort of way, but I've got all of your books on my desk every year.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so that I can keep track of them and not lose them when I need them.
Oh.
I have them stacked up and holding my desk lamp is on top of them so I don't lose them.
Well. Thank you. I got to tell you, that's a heartwarming vision to think about. I don't even know if they're in year order or not, starting in 2018.
No, well, they probably are. But there's a reason I have to hike my lamp up, and these are just the perfect thing to do it after I read them. Uh-huh. Is that when I swing over my mic arm?
Yep.
It hits my lamp if I don't have your very, very critically important. Well,
I'm making a contribution to someone's life. If it's not through making the right Medicare decisions, it's allowing you to move your mic without bumping into your lamp or whatever. So, you know, God bless me, huh? You're a lucky guy to know me. I swear. Well, how would you deal with that problem if it weren't for me writing these slaving?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, this really would be a situational problem for me if I didn't have your books.
Well, I'm so glad to be able to make a contribution to your well-being, I'll tell you. Hey, you know, I've got three people here I could beat up on big time, and I need you to tell me who it should be that I should concentrate on today. One of them is our president. One of them is a...
Which one is that?
Well, that would be the guy who thinks he's president.
Okay.
Every once in a while, we hear him cackling for no reason. And he's the guy with the vice president that goes and lectures losing basketball teams about how hard they tried. And I don't know if you heard that or not. Oh, it's worth it.
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Google it. I don't know which. It was maybe her alma mater, Howard University, lost a game by 28 points. She went to the locker room to give him a pep talk after that. She tried really hard.
I don't need to know that the vice president went to a locker room to give a 28-point loser a pep talk.
Okay, well, I just thought you might find it entertaining.
Find it interesting. Anyway, I'm going to go Google it. Joe back there somewhere?
Oh no, Joe was not in the room, I don't think. But anyway, so one of the people I could beat up on is Faux Cahontas. F-A-U-X, Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, yes.
The woman who decided to tell the world that she was a Comanche or Cherokee from Oklahoma in order to get a teaching spot that she wasn't otherwise qualified for. But one of the Ivy League schools, I believe it was, hired her as an instructor and paid her just through the nose because they decided she was probably an Indian. Turns out she's not an Indian, and I think she apologized, but that was, she didn't give any refunds back to the students that had to borrow a ton of money to go to this school.
Well, I think the actual Native Americans ought to do something about this.
Well, I think they did proclaim that if she had any Indian blood at all, it was like 1/200,000th or something. It was a fraction I've never encountered before, and they did the research. So it must have been Cherokees, I think. They said that if she has any Indian blood at all, it's like an accident. somebody brushed past her on the sidewalk or something.
Well, I was going to say she lived in Oklahoma for what, about 12 minutes?
I guess. I mean, she doesn't have any kind of an accent that I would recognize. I know my Oklahoma accents, and she does not sound, she sounds like a Bostonian to me.
So I know my Bostonians. What happened, Doug? I think yes, what sir? Happened?
What's that?
She was out on the street going to fill her car up, and she saw a Native American drive in to fill up their tank, and she was within 12 feet.
And that's all it took. I'm an Indian.
Yeah, I'm an Indian.
She filled out the paperwork, and pretty soon she's instructing at Harvard. I think that's the school she went to. I'm not 100% sure which school it was that was victimized by her lies, but, you know, to heck with them if they're willing to accept stuff that was obviously blatantly false, then, you know, more power to the rest of us for not going there and not enriching them. But, you know, the other person I had in mind to beat up on is a guy that I really don't like very much, Mark Cuban. On the other hand, he hasn't really done much to me, so perhaps I should lighten up on the guy a little bit. But he had a television show that I watched. Now, I've been watching The Apprentice, Donald Trump show, and enjoying it ever since it was brand new. I thought, hey, this is something that's really interesting. It's unique, and it was kind of fun. And it was certainly something the spousal unit and I enjoyed together. That is, she who assigns the letter grade and the most severe critic. So she and I enjoyed that. So one season, Mark Cuban decided to jump on the bandwagon. So he started a show, a reality show called, I think, instead of The Apprentice, I think it was called The Assistant, if I'm remembering it correctly. And it was really a pale imitation of the Donald Trump show. And it was sickening in its failure to inspire or to entertain. And it went on episode after episode after episode. And Mark Cuban made himself less and less appealing as the host of that show. And eventually the ratings were so bad and the show was doing so poorly. And Mark Cuban was so such a weird personality and getting worse. He was kind of devolving right in front of the cameras that they just didn't even run the last few episodes. So I have no idea who would have won that thing. And I'm frankly not sure I would have spent the time to watch those last few episodes, but it was critically panned by everybody and certainly by me. So frankly, Mark Cuban has never been a friend of mine, and I have seen him make fun of other people and blow his stack at people and so forth. And he's just not a guy that I would ever want to hang around with. So I think maybe having mentioned all of that, I should probably select him to beat up on today. So let me do that. The article I've got here says Mark Cuban has been taking on the drug industry. The headline goes on to say, but which one? When billionaire Mark Cuban announced his attack on the pharmaceutical industry and its high-priced drugs back in January of 2021, it was met with cheers. His new company, the Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drug Company, otherwise known as Cost Plus Drugs, has the lowest prices on meds anywhere, he said. Let's find out if that's true or not. So the serial entrepreneur and owner of the Dallas Mavericks made the media rounds evangelizing, getting press via the Wall Street Journal, Time, The Daily Show, and many other outlets. He gave colorful quotes along the way, at one point declaring his goal is just to F up the pharmaceutical industry so bad they bleed. So, you know, he's Mr. Personality, and he is going to F up the pharmaceutical industry. That sounds like, you know, a really productive way to spend your time. His new company, which currently offers over 1,000 generic medications, has social media influencers singing his praises. Reality star Kim Kardashian both tweeted and Instagrammed kudos. Former basketballer and Twitter personality Rex Chapman said Cuban was changing the game of prescription drugs in America. Even a swingers forum on Reddit finds much to like about the company's low prices for Viagra and other meds. Yet beneath the hype lies a murky reality. In many cases, the price quotes that patients see on the website, this is Mark Cuban's company's website, in many cases, those price quotes are higher than they would get if they just went to their local drugstores. It has to do with the segment that Cuban is playing in, generic drugs, but also the layers of complexity peculiar to the American health system. Right now, his company primarily sells generics, drugs that are no longer protected by patents that could ensure monopoly profits for the big pharmaceutical companies. In most cases, it is the lowest price part of the pharmaceutical industry. To examine a substantial slice of Cuban's wares, Kaiser Health News, these people never saw an abortion that they didn't love. They're always, you know, ragging about abortion this, abortion that, and talking about all the red states where abortions are outlawed and so on and so on and so on. Well, they do other things besides that, so I take some of what they say with a grain of salt. So Kaiser Health News looked at all the medications and products offered on Mark Cuban's site that start with the letter A. I guess it would have been too big a job to do all of them, so they just did the one starting with the letter A. With each combination of strength, count, or quantity, and type of medication, capsule or tablet, or chewable gummies available. It's a sizable sample. As of early February in 2023, I guess, it amounted to 211 combinations, and that's just for the letter A. So they compared the prices for each variety of medication to the prices from other pharmacies for that same medication as compiled by comparison shopping discount site GoodRx. Focusing on the Washington, D.C. area where KHN, that's Kaiser Health News, is based, the publication found lower prices in at least one pharmacy on GoodRx, which doesn't include Cuban's company in its comparisons. In 141 instances out of 211, 141 drugs were cheaper at GoodRx. In the remaining 70 instances, Cuban's operation had lower prices or was bested only by one-time offers. Where there were savings, they could be substantial. A Washingtonian taking a certain drug that starts with an A, aprepitant, an anti-nausea medication, could save hundreds of dollars using Cuban's site. The analysis was not comprehensive, as Cuban pointed out to KHN by mail or email. In part, that's because of the company's pricing model. Here's how they price a drug. 15% markup over the manufacturer's cost, plus $3 for labor per drug, plus $5 to ship each order. So that's how Mark Cuban's company prices their drugs. Many generics are so cheap that the $5 shipping cost would swallow any small savings. Still, Cuban noted bundling multiple drugs all with one $5 shipping charge might end up being cheaper overall. Other regions of the country might have less favorable pricing. When presented with the analysis, Cuban thought cost comparisons might be better elsewhere outside of D.C. Maybe in D.C. they were offering a happy hour special, he wrote, with attached screenshots comparing his site's prices of both 10 and 40 milligram dosages of atorvastatin, a popular cholesterol drug, with the cost of a CVS in Dallas. But searching in Dallas didn't reveal better results. There was at least one online or brick-and-mortar option for each dosage and quantity with lower prices than Cuban's company. Should we be smelling a rat here? So why are the prices not necessarily lower on Cuban site than elsewhere? It's due to the peculiarities of the healthcare sector. While his Twitter bio says he's dunking on the pharma industry, what Cuban means is not what most people think he means. I view our competition really not so much as the actual generic pharmaceutical manufacturers themselves, Cost Plus Drugs co-founder Dr. Alex Oshmiansky said in a podcast about pharmaceuticals from March of 2021. Indeed, this guy said that they're both competing with pharmacy benefit managers and wholesalers. Alrighty. Cuban's bet so far is that less than the drug manufacturers and their inflating cost that the companies in between PBMs, wholesalers, and pharmacies are. And that bet is less likely to pay off for Cuban. Here's why. PBMs negotiate costs over a basket of drugs for their clients. Their clients are insurers and employers. Pharmacy benefit managers try to achieve a goal or a total drug spend number per member of each plan. Optimizing the cost of each drug for each patient is not necessarily their goal. So, in other words, if a pharmacy benefit manager has a whole basket full of different kinds of drugs, it's the cost of the whole basket of drugs that they're looking to reduce, not each individual drug. Some of those drugs might be more expensive than others. So Mark Cuban apparently is only trying to compare the cost of each individual drug, and he's losing out. So pharmacy benefit managers accept rebates from pharmaceutical companies and use other strategies that reduce spending, in theory, without necessarily reducing the price of the individual drugs. Pharmacies, in turn, contract with multiple PBMs or pharmacy benefit managers. The price offered by PBMs can vary from day to day sometimes. So organizations like GoodRx, which aggregates prices across several outlets, and some independent pharmacies, which can acquire medication from wholesalers looking for higher volume, they can opportunistically offer better prices on selected generics. Ah, boy. This is all not looking good for Mark Cuban as being the savior for those who like to get cheap prices for generic prescriptions. And as I scan the rest of this article, I'm not really seeing that Mark's opportunities for success are much greater here when people can still go to their own drugstores and do better. So here's one patient's story. Although patients' comments on social media are generally favorable to Mark Cuban's company, there are exceptions and some revealing ones. Elizabeth Betros, a Generation X nurse's aide from New Jersey, said that she switched antidepressants to Cost Plus drugs after her brick-and-mortar pharmacy tried to charge her hundreds of dollars. But Cuban's company wasn't perfect either. She said a glitch delayed the refills for her antidepressants around the 2022 holiday season. With this medication, you start to go through withdrawal if you miss a dose, she said. I don't want to go through holidays withdrawing. But getting customer service from Mark Cuban's company was challenging. It was hard to get a hold of someone by phone. It was all done electronically. After a few days of tag-teaming the service with her doctor, she went back to CVS. Cuban declined to comment on her case specifically on the record, but he did write, "We try to be very transparent about the fact that while we have operators that are available and we are always looking for exceptions that need personal attention, we're trying to improve our support. We won't be the fastest or highest touch source." I don't know what that means, the highest touch source. So Cuban concluded that's just a reality that comes with being the low-cost provider. So once again, as Randy was saying about hearing aids, you kind of get what you pay for. And with Mark Cuban, maybe you don't get a lot, and you might pay more than your local outlets. So, you know, I've burned up more than our allotted 75 cents worth today, haven't I?
The crickets chirp.
So I hope that was inspirational.
So wasn't Mark Cuban one of the guys on Shark Tank?
He's still one of the guys on Shark Tank, and he's pretty irritating there, too.
I don't know that I ever want to do business with this guy.
No, I never would. If I went into Shark Tank and I had the greatest idea in the world and the sharks were fighting all over me, I would tell Mark Cuban to take his seat and, keep his clam up because I wasn't interested.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as I mentioned, Doug, the crickets have chirped. We have spent our 75. We're working in on, you know, like 80 cents almost now. So
we can't afford that.
We're going to have to cut it short. The operator's going, put in another quarter, put it, ding, 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 print
it. No,
not doing it. But there's a couple things that I need to do to sign us off. One is I always mention that Doug is a licensed agent nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement plans. Medigap, you may know it as. He loves email at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check us out at medicareforthelazyman.com. Got some pretty cool stuff going on there. But at the end of the day, we would really appreciate if you would find somewhere to give us a rating on the podcast and or the books. And many, many, many stars, 5 would be really, really cool. But anyway, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, speaking from his fortress of solitude in Cave Creek. Now, he was originally from Oklahoma, but he moved a number of years ago to Cave Creek, Arizona. And his fortress of solitude, you may know, is in the high mountains behind the city. And I think today we're going to run it in at about, let's say, 19.4.
Oh, boy, it's chilly up here. I got to tell you right now. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time.